a few years ago. A few years ago, I was doing research on the topic which I mentioned last week, which was about weddings and chasanas. I noticed that many people bring down a source which was called the Simchas HaNefesh, the Sefer Simchas HaNefesh. One of those people that brought it down was Rabbi Yamin Hamburger, and others also brought it down. I was unable to find this. They all mention that that this Sefer speaks about the topic. So I wanted to check it up as a rule. In general, when you work with Menhagim, you have to see the source and so to see that the text says what it's supposed to say. And okay. Anyway, I went to Hebrew University to check up the source. Sure enough, I found the name of that sefer, Simchas HaNefesh, but there were many editions. I ordered as many editions as it was possible. A lot of them were rare. It took quite a few attempts, as the library was in the middle of defuming the books. I was not able to find the source. While looking through the sefer, I noticed that some editions had two parts, while other editions had only one. It was originally written in Yiddish, and at one point in 1999, in Bnei Brak, it was translated into Hebrew. But that person only translated one of the parts. We'll hear more about all the parts shortly. After many unsuccessful attempts to find the source, I put it on the back burner, and I said, forget it for now. Then, a few months later, I saw a write-up about Hermann Pollack's book, Jewish Folkways in Germanic Lands, Menachem Mendel's very good blog. The book sounded very good. I immediately ordered the book and started reading it. When I reached the part about Jewish weddings, lo and behold, he also quotes the same source, Simchas HaNefesh. I tried to track it down, but again, I didn't. Then I noticed that whenever Pollack quoted Simchas HaNefesh, he mentioned the edition of Shatsky. No idea what he was talking about. And I said, a few days later, I was using the Menorah Samarim, the edition that put out by En Lau. And I noticed he also quotes the Shatsky edition of Simchas HaNefesh. Must be that this edition of Simchas HaNefesh by Shatsky. Sure enough, Professor Yaakov Shatsky had put out an edition of Simchas HaNefesh in 1926. I went back to the university, ordered that edition, and finally found the source. The question is, what was going on? What took me so long to find it? And what's the whole story behind it? I decided to do some research on Simchas HaNefesh and discovered the following. The author of the Simchas HaNefesh was Rabbi Chanan Kirkan, son-in-law of the famous Kav HaYasher. He was born in around 1666, not far from Hamburg. He was quite a Talmud Chacham, as we'll see when we discuss the Sefer. He knew Halacha very well, and he had many correspondences with Gedolim of his time. He wrote many svarim on topics, on different topics, but only one was printed, which is a print Sefer Al HaTorah called Chidushim Sefer. It was printed only once. Most of the rest of what he has is remains a manuscript. It seems from his writings there's a darshan by profession. We'll see more about that also shortly. It's also clear that he traveled all over Europe, because throughout the Sefer he gives accounts of all different things that he saw. Also, we'll mention them shortly. The first time he printed the Sefer was in 1707. It contained two parts. We'll discuss the two parts shortly. In 1727, he printed a third part. The Sefer, as I mentioned, was written in Yiddish, or Yiddish Deitch, as it's called, and were printed many times, in many places. I think in the end it's something around 29 times. The third part, the one printed in 1727, was printed only once. That part is very rare. Few copies exist in libraries worldwide. What happened was like this. He basically printed the first... he printed it as follows. First time he printed it, which had two parts. Part one was a Musar section. Part two was a Halacha section. Now that part, most of the time it's printed I mean, that, sorry, that part, sometimes it's printed completely, sometimes it's printed only the Musar section, but it's two complete parts. The second part I mentioned is full of halachas, basically halachas ranging from all about the order of Archaim, going on the order of day-to-day life, Shabbos, Erevin, and it goes, includes many areas of Yeridea, Hokus Nida is in there, Hokus Chala, and other areas. The third part, which was, as I mentioned, only printed once, was printed in 1727, and that part, as I mentioned, is very rare, and is only printed once. In 1926, Professor Yaakov Shatsky printed this edition in a facsimile edition. Ever since then, it has never been printed again. That is where my missing piece was, and look, that's where I found it. That part was a very interesting. It's a series of songs. He includes the notes of the musical notes, and over there he has, in the form of all around the year, Musar that he gave to the crowd. The reason is why he chose to write it in such a thing was it was meant for the masses. People in villages, as he traveled all over, and he felt that they'll be able to relate if it's in a musical form, and it's full of very interesting things, also some of which we'll also mention shortly. Today, in the world of incredible high tech, where one can get incredible amounts of information at the press of a few buttons, one can find the first edition, 1707 edition, on Hebrew University's website, a very rare scan svarim. The second printing, which is, as I mentioned, was only printed once, and then again in the facsimile edition of 1926, which is very, it's very hard to read, this facsimile edition. The quality of the scans are terrible, but today there's a website devoted to rare books in Yiddish, and one can, with a high quality, you can blow it up at the page, and you can locate everything you want very easily. Okay, that's one of the boring parts of the lecture. Now, in 1999, as I mentioned, in Bnei Brak, someone named Shmuel Uriya translated for the first time this Sefer into Hebrew. Now, he only printed the first part. What's the first part? The Musar part, which we'll devote a lot of this lecture about. An excellent text for this translation. He added many notes, indexes, sources for statements of the Simchas HaNefesh, and he includes an extensive introduction on the author and the Sefer in general, some of which helped me in preparing this year. Another useful source which helped me for background about the Simchas HaNefesh in all three editions was Yisrael Tinberg's Toldot Safrut Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. Now let's hear a little bit about Sefer. First, Chashav Rabbanim, such as Rabbeinu Snitchitz in Yair's Dvash, strongly praises the Sefer. He calls him HaChassid HaMufla. Interestingly enough, he quotes him in another work of his, Bina Le'itim on Hilchus Yantif, in relation to a Halach of Shaila. In the Skama of the Sefer, which we're going to see more about shortly, Rabbi Yosef Meir, the Av Bezdin of Hanover of that time period, he gives a very impressive scum, and he says that one can pass him from the Sefer. What do I mean pass him? Because as I mentioned, the second part of the Sefer is full of halachas. It's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, just written much before the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shimon, the Chassam Sefer, also speaks very highly of the Sefer. Rav Shimon Sefer writes that his father, the Ksav Sefer, used to learn the Sefer, Simchas HaNefesh, and Shabbos with his sister. He also writes that he saw the Simchas HaNefesh of his grandfather, Rabbi Kiva Sefer, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and there were many comments on the Sefer. Interestingly enough, we find that many times in Rabbi Kiva Eger's notes on Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Simchas HaNefesh. We also find that the Sefer was amongst the list of Svarim in the library of Rabbi Pinchas Captain Ellenbogen, a big Rav in around that period of time also, which we might perhaps deal with him at a later date. In 1898, the Simchas HaNefesh was printed with a pirish by Rabbi Yehuda Kreis at the suggestion of Rabbi Shimon Sefer. And, as I mentioned, Rabbi Shimon Luria, when he printed the Sefer in 1999, in the introduction he includes a list of many more Gedolim praise the Sefer. Well, yeah. As I mentioned, it was very popular. One of the ways we could tell a Sefer is popular is the amount of times it's reprinted. It was reprinted over 28 times in Europe. And even the most recent edition, which came out in 1999, 1 year later, was reprinted again. Now it's very hard to find. It's out of print officially, but very hard to find. Question is, what exactly is the Sefer? So we mentioned a little bit, what's the Sefer about? So we mentioned a little. Just a little more elaboration is that he writes a lot of Musar and Techacha, full of different Mishalim and Maisis. He real life stories and then stories Mishalim that did not exactly happen, but he brings it out very through the usage of these methods. It's very easy for people to understand safer of the ideas they try to bring out. He deals with all types of topics, proving that there's a concept of a neshama. He discusses why one should not worry. He gives solutions how to deal with pain. Some we'll see shortly. He says everything you should do is simcha. You should do it with simcha, and that's why it's called Sefer Simchas HaNefesh. The question, and as I mentioned, another part of the Sefer is halachas, all types of halachas, which also we're going to go back into shortly. What's so exceptional about the Sefer? The exceptional thing, as I believe, is the way it's written. It's written in very captivating and down-to-earth language. It speaks to the reader in a clear manner and keeps one interested using many stories and parables. In addition, it was an excellent guide for the masses in the day-to-day situations. First, let's focus on one of the aspects about this that I just mentioned, the halachic guide for the masses. In his introduction, he writes, "From Kaimis Rabbim, Shein Lamdanim Etzuyim Sham, Ein Mimilushol." In many places, there's no Rabbanim around. He was writing this for all over villages, also for people in villages. There's no one to ask questions. The Rabbim Heim Shein Mevim Lashon Hakodesh Lachein. So if I wrote instructions clearly, Musar, and Halachas in the language that the masters can understand, to be Mazaka the Rabbin. There were other books written in Dinim and Lashon Ashkenaz, some of which have been the subject of other works of different people. There was early books for the masses of Hilchos Nida. Edward Fromm has a whole book about that. An early edition from the author of the Masses Binyamin wrote such a work for women, Hilchos Chala, Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Halachos Neiros. Also written in Yiddish, and there's many such books. He deals with it in his extensive, beautiful introduction of the book. Anyway, but he says most of these books that are out there are full of mistakes, and people can make mistakes. Open up, you can see with the eyes. They're all clear. Now, what's interesting is that he's saying that one can rely on it. Now, we know today the world is full of daily halachic svarim are coming out, constantly kitzer svarim are all types, and many of them say in the introduction, do not rely on me. Here he is saying clearly, one, you can rely on me, the other ones are full of mistakes, mine is not, which is a very impressive confidence, so to speak. And interestingly enough, in the 1707 edition, the Haskama says, from Rabbi Yisrael Meir Hanover, you can pass it from it. We also see that Lamaiser Bikivager does bring it down in his notes on Shulchan Aruch. Interestingly enough, as with many of other Svarim, at one point this book was banned, and even according to some, it was burnt. Professor Simberg explained that the reason it was burnt was actually because of this reason. There was a fear. It said on some of the early editions, Shulchan Aruch, Aruchayim, V'yaradeh, Menagim Shal Kol HaShana, people felt it was dangerous to give a sefer like that to the masses. I mean, say exactly what he intended to do by giving the sefer to the masses, that was the fear, and for some reason at some point, it's not clear exactly, but in burnt. Which is interesting, because as I mentioned, that Skama says, no, you could pass him, or the Kiveger did pass him. Anyway, okay. Interestingly enough, the Chassam Sofer, who, as I mentioned before, was a fan of the work, he writes in a drasha that he says he's talking about masses. They hear a lot of times. You hear people saying they're talking about a certain issue. Let's say the regular Joe in the street says, I didn't find anything about the Kitzur Shlov and Simchas Nefesh. It seems, even though the Chassam Sofer, as mentioned, was pro the Sefer, from here it sounds like that there was some type of thing. You know, people thought, it's in the Simchas Nefesh, it's not a problem, but it's not so clear. Now, in 1727, I mentioned the rear part. I mentioned this was the songs, and this was a new method of giving Musa. The author's goal was to reach the masses, even those people who live in the village. Now, what happened was, he saw things that the people were negligent in, and he mentioned that part. As I mentioned, it's a practical, down-to-earth book. We can see this through many points mentioned in the Sefer. Simple. One is, he's very anti, when he talks about tshuva, he says, you have to do it slowly, do not be too hard on yourself. He's very anti-fasting. Another practical, down-to-earth piece of advice, especially for that period of time, was he is very anti-hitting your child, at least before the age of 4. Do not bother. Another thing, which is a recurring theme in the book, is about losing children. Comforts people about the lost children. He writes he lost at least one or two, and this was a very common occurrence in those periods of time. Just reading any autobiographical accounts of that period, just the back of them, they lost a crazy unbelievable amount of children. That Deris a little later also lost a crazy amount of children. You see from these people, they were able to take it, and they managed to be able to survive. I mean, they moved on in life. And he was basically gave some advice to how to deal with it. The Simchas HaNefesh is full of many interesting topics, such as about Nisim, different Nisim that happened, stories with Neshamas and Shadim, which some will mention in a few minutes. Some of the stories he was an actual eyewitness to, so you can't even say he doesn't know what he's talking about, or he just saw legends, or overheard things. He saw, for example, in one of the chapters he talks about, he saw a boy of 3 years old speaking about concepts of Torah and Kabbalah that he says there's no way in the world he understood what he was talking about. He also mentions he was in Poland, there was a woman whose children were killed by a demon, and he was around when this happened. Whatever it is. Okay. One of the other, another interesting thing about the Sefer is it's full of incredible amount of Akiyas, first in Chazal, Rishonim, Sefer Kabbalah. It's also quotes from many, many interesting Svarim, not typically quoted. He quotes, for example, he quotes the works of Ranash ben Yisrael, Nishmas Chayim many times, he even quotes the Likvei Yisrael, he quotes the Sefer Tzari HaYagan, he quotes Masas Ben Yamin, the Sefer Ben HaMelech HaMazir numerous times. It's evident that this author had access to a very rare library. Okay. This Sefer is a pretty much untapped wellspring of Minhagim of Germany. The reader can also get a clear picture of life in those times, especially in the small villages. As I mentioned, the author traveled all over. And He wrote Musar based on what he felt the people he met in the travels were lacking. As I mentioned, the usage of this Sefer for Minhagim has not really been tapped in all that much. Just to mention some of the people, Simcha Saf quotes it once or twice. Shatsky wrote a beautiful introduction to his facsimile edition. He, after him, Avram Yari uses it a few times in his work Chag Simchas Torah. Jacob Marcus was introduced. Jacob Marcus introduced this work to Hermann Pollack, who used it throughout the book. of his Jewish focus in Germanic lands, as he mentioned earlier. It's full of quotes from it. Other than that, today, Reb Shloimeh Hamburger and Shor Shem Minhag Ashkenaz in his various volumes and other works of the Zalman Hagen, he quotes it here and there, but definitely not nearly as much as information. He does not pull out as much information as he probably could. Zev Gris, in his book Safruta and Hagot, which is an excellent book devoted to the topic of Svarim, of Musar and Hagas and their impact on us, written in the early 90s, does not even mention it. He mentions many others, very rare works he mentions, and it would seem that he should bring this book, but he doesn't bring this. But later on, it seems this book was brought to his attention, and he discusses it in his next book, called Hasefer Kesefim Tarbut, which was recently translated into English, which is about the effects of the history of Jewish books on different parts of, for example, he deals with Yiddish books, the effect of Yiddish books on how widespread it was read. And so one of the books that he talks about, he mentions quickly, is the Simchas HaNefesh. Some interesting samples of Minhagim in daily life that are mentioned in the Sefer are Dinam L'Zeichel HaChorban, which again, some people are not so makpid about, which is to put, leave a spot in the house unpainted. He talks about Chasam and Kala fasting on the day of the Chuppah. In volume 2, part of the first part, I mentioned he deals with all the areas of our Chaim and Yerodei, simply going straight from the beginning of the day, davening. He deals with Berchaz HaMazon, he deals with Shabbos, he deals with all the Yom, full of things. Some of the things are not discussed elsewhere. He has an extensive chapter on Tchumen, as it seems in those days it was a very common problem. Villages going from one village to the next, and it seems that people were not so nizer, were not so careful about it, they did not realize this, how all the dinim about it, and he wrote all about that. Also, in the third part of the Sefer, he deals with examples. He, interestingly enough, he mentions there was excessive alcohol drinking at weddings and at Brisim. He discusses how people in the villages, children dealt with their farms, animals on Shabbos, all different things. Other examples of things that you see that people are negligent in, he talks about people playing cards all night. He discusses how people dealt harshly with each other in business. He talks about Chazanim that didn't know how that saying, but they didn't know what they were saying. He even mentions how about parents used to send their kids to dance school. Okay. One recurring theme which he talks about throughout the Sefer, a bunch of places, which he goes so far as to say that the reason why many Jews died in Tachtatat and other Gezeiros was because of a lack of tznius. Examples of tznius that the people of the time lacked in was a men and women that were not married to each other danced in public. He writes how women were very involved in dressing in order to be attractive to men. He says this is in contrast to what he was told, that in Turkey the people were so careful with tznius that men hardly ever saw women. Women didn't go to shul, and when guests stayed in someone's house, the man of the house did not allow his wife and daughter to see the guests. These areas of tznius also, you know, it wasn't only in this period of time when he's writing the work in the 1720s. There's many other times that it was. There's many other sources showing that this problem was prevalent. One of them in the early 1900s in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, when he's talking about the author has a whole discussion about all the different things that were going on, and he discusses again also mixed dancing was done. It was very common, and also they went to dance school. It was very important to learn how to dance. He also discusses at length this is going on in Litha. He's talking about Litha in the early 1900s. Another issue which the author takes a strong stand on was the education system. He writes as follows. Rosh Lakol, Tzrichim Lumloid, We have to learn with the children. You have to learn with them Tanakh. All Tanakh. Then he says, you have to learn Diktuk. After that, begin with Mishnayis. After they know that very well, move on to Gemara. He writes that if you don't do like this, they cannot understand. And he writes an interesting lesson. Tolshim Seiris Reishim, he writes, they pull out their hairs from the pain. And they're not even remaining and learning for too long. The Gemara is easily forgotten. They don't understand how to daven. They don't understand the words they're saying. But if you learn properly, in the order that he says, such as Chumash, then you learn Navi, then you move on to Mishnayis, then you move into Talmud, it's a much better chance that you'll be successful. And he says, I'm writing this in Ashkenaz, in Yiddish, or German, whatever, Yiddish Deutsch, Kedesh Yerkol Yoidim, Hein Anoshim, Hein Noshim. So they should know about the kids. They shouldn't feel bad that their kid doesn't know what's going on necessarily. He writes that this is not my idea. He quotes the Maral. The Maral is famous. The Maral had such a campaign. He was very into that they did not learn properly. They went straight on to learning in the Gemara. Also, the Shlach son was very into this, and many other Gedolim throughout the ages were very into that this should be the proper way how to educate children. Interestingly enough, he writes, when he's talking about this thing, and when he talks about the Maral, he uses an interesting lashon. Der Heiche Rebleib, he calls the Maral very tall. Interestingly enough, there was someone else, another Avezn of Krakow at that period of time, that was also known as the Heiche Rebleib. Some people say that maybe Simchas HaNefesh got mixed up. I don't know if you could say such a thing, but it could be. It seems there was a few people. The question is, was the Maral actually tall? In later sources, especially in some German sources, it sounds supposedly that there are sources of them being tall, but I'm not sure. Anyway, some other interesting things that he mentions in the Sefer, I'd like to go through. He brings down an idea, a story that he heard from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Now, what's significant about this? What's significant about this is as follows. Who was Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? Now, around in the 1690s, there was a movement started, I'm not sure if it was started by him, there was a movement of some sort by this Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He was later joined on with another person. And eventually, they went and made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in about 1700. 3 days after they got there, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the head of the movement, died. We know that Rabbi Raphael Malchi, who was the follower of the Pri Chadash, was called to cure him, but he got it too late. And he didn't take care of him. We have, of this time period in Eretz Yisrael, we have in the travels of that was put out by Avram Yari called Masois Eretz Yisrael, we have a travel of someone that was part of this group. The question is, what's the story with this group? Scholarship has shown that there's a Sefer Tfuas Ha'aretz. The Sefer Tfuas Ha'aretz is an incredible Sefer written by Rabbi Yosef Schwartz. All about Eretz Yisrael. It deals with geography, it deals with history of Eretz Yisrael. It's full of everything about Eretz Yisrael, from the times of Chazal till present, till his period of time. Now, when he talks about Rabbi, he talks about all the different people that came to Eretz Yisrael. So he talks about the group Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and he writes that there was such a group, and he writes that they started the reason this group was started up. He died right away. And Churvas Rebbe Yehuda HaChassid, which is everyone passes it on their way to the Kaisel, is named after him. Unfortunately, he writes, based on earlier sources, that because the leader of the movement pretty much died, it wasn't successful, and they had very big problems, and they couldn't support themselves, and there was big problems that went on in that period of time. And as I mentioned, this, the travels of one of the people of that period of time, which we have in the Masais Eretz Yisrael from Avram Yari, we see a lot about what was going on, how hard it was for them, and everything. Now, this Sefer Tevuos HaAretz was reprinted at a later period of time by Avram Luntz. Avram Luntz wrote footnotes on the Sefer. The footnotes contain a few different things. One is that Rabbi Yosef Schwartz later on updated his stuff, had footnotes and everything, so he put it into the he put them on the proper pages. He also added in based on newer information, and he writes as follows. That's a chaykrim. This is already going back a while ago. He Rabbi Yehuda Chassid v'siyato hinigu b'Yerushalayim es amunas shatzei tzvi. But he says it's not muchletet. It's not clear. But he's bringing out to the table that this movement was not such a good movement. Possibly, according to some people, was not such a good movement. Now, what's significant is that the Simchas HaNefesh is bringing an idea. Rabbi Bechassid. The Simchas HaNefesh's father-in-law was the author of the Kaveh Yashar, also Moser like Sefer, with some halacha, and he also heard from him at that period of time. However, the Sefer, which at one point recently has been reprinted, when it was first printed, it won many awards. It's called Meshichei Sheker Misnagdeyem. Shifei Shekhem Slagdein was printed by Benjamin Hamburger from Machon Meresh's Ashkenaz. The Sefer was printed in the early 90s, I believe. It sold out pretty fast. It won a lot of awards in the Haredi world, and it's a very good book. What's it called? It's called Meshichei Sheker Misnagdeyem. It's a collection of the history of the Jews, all the Meshichim starting from Jesus on and onwards until he ends with Herzl. Now, that Sefer was out of print, as I mentioned, for many years. This year, a few months ago, it was reprinted. It was reprinted almost double the size, full of corrections and many additions, and did an excellent job in the second edition, much better than the first. And he has a chapter, and in both editions, he had a chapter about Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, because, as I mentioned, Luntz brings down already, he had a little to do with with the Shabtzei Tzvi movement. You have to understand that the Shabtzei Tzvi movement, even after Shabtzei Tzvi died, it still kept on going. There's different parts of it beyond this lecture, but the Frankism movement, and one of the groups that was claimed to have affiliation with this, according to what we now know, is this movement of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Now, to be sure, it's not only Simchas HaNefesh, not only the Kaveh Yashar quoted ideas from him, these are people from that period of time. There was the Chida in his travels also, when he refers to him, he calls him Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, as interest, I think he says, Rava Kaddish, when he's referring to him. Now, Hamburger, from Hamburger, in this book has extensive chapters showing, and the information is coming from Chacham Tzvi, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that this person, and also many manuscripts from other scholars that have worked on this topic, that this Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was a Shabtzei Tzvi. Now, what's interesting is that there, as you mentioned, there's the Churva, the famous Churva shul, or that's now being rebuilt in Yerushalayim on the way to the old city, on the way down to the Kaisel, is named after him. Now, what's interesting is that also about a year or two ago, a sefer was put out called Chatzer Churvas Rabbi Nachasid. It's a collection all about this Chatzer from different people, Chuvah style written in that relating to the shul and the history of the shul. And there's no mention whatsoever. And you ask the average person, it's interesting, you know, why are we even naming this shul after this person is possibly, as I mentioned, a Shabtai Tzvina follower. Now Hamburger actually has a whole chapter in the back about it, and he brings based information from one of the big chaykrim of the Mashiachs, especially the Mashiach movements that have to do with Eretz Yisrael. Ari Morgenstern, who wrote many books on the topic, he also deals with this, and based on that information, he proves that it's a mistake, and he brings that there were people, big people, that were against the shul being named after Rabbi Nachasid, and one of the people, and interestingly enough, he brings from a few sources that it was known that the houses that were built in that area, it was a sakana to live in them. Furthermore, there were those that went so far to say that the different tragic incidents that happened over there was also because of this, the building of the shul. And he deals in this chapter also, Hamburger deals with the building of the shul, exactly how it was built. And he built it, but that's a different story. And just to mention one other thing, Rav Moshe Chagiz, which he also lived in that period of time, we mentioned him last week in a sefer Mishnas Chachamim, which, as I mentioned last week, was reprinted recently by Feldon. Also, it seems that he's referring to this Rabbi Nachasid, but I can't be sure. He says as follows: Kinizhva ani, I swear, shereisi yidibaratim kama v'kamanoshim, sheimachzikim aysim ha'moyim. I spoke with many people that the masses, that the people think that these people are Bali Kabbalah, Bali Shem, which is a different discussion. These are people that are able to do miracles openly. They don't know simple halachas of Krishma and Netilas Yadayim. And I gave them Moshe. They are Yisimchim al Gedula Chazaka Shem Machzikim Mamabrius. Anyway, that's one point of interest that he brings, an idea that he heard personally from Rabbi Nachasid. So at least he was not necessarily, he did not, and maybe could be at the time when he met him and he heard the story that he told him, he didn't know, it wasn't clear. Another interesting thing mentioned in this sefer, as I mentioned, it's full of different minhagim, is he talks about shaking. Shaking when one learns, and shaking when one davens. He brings down an interesting reason. L'chein zeh atam ninim Yisrael k'moy haner hazeh ha'doylik v'soneh l'kan l'kan v'ein ha'shoike k'achan ha'sham abadam in ha'shoikeh. The reason is because we Jews have a neshama, and it cannot, and we shake back and we like a ner, and we shake back and forth. Now here I have on the documents over here, I have a, see some of the sources. Okay, let me see. Okay. On the bottom of the page that is up on the screen right now, it's the famous Kuzari. Amar Kuzari, Eshel Yitzchak, Hatidet Lamas Noinim Ayudim Bekriyasa. Why do Jews shuckle? Hold on a second. So the Kuzari answered, or the Chavar answered the Kuzari, Ki bavur ha'ir ha'choyim ha'tivi v'einis ha'vishuel mitzad ha'inyin shenachnu lo'i. Ki v'pnei, shichayim l'kori ravim b'hem te'achad ha'yefshir she'yitzkabtu asar mehem ha'yeser al-sifre echad. Those days, this is going back pre printing press. 10 people were gathered around the sefer. Books were big. Each one would have to be able to see. The yeshiva who like basically, simply put, so the first thing was is that basically they had to share work, so they started shaking because different people had to see the text, but it wasn't for any particular reason. This is the Kuzari. Now, truth is, I did not scroll down. Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's the page. Now, on this page, there's a few sources. Besides the Kuzari that I just read, sorry for not sharing the document. Next, there's a Sefer Chassid. So here we see that it was done when they learned. There's earlier sources about this from Reb Shmuel HaNogid. In his poetry, we have indication also that when he was talking about it. But before the times of the Gaonim, it's very hard to find even any hints that in the times of Chazal, the Jews shackled either when they learned or when they davened. There's two articles written on the topic. One is written by a Reb Shlomo Ashkenazi, and the other one is written by Yitzchak Zimmer. Both of them have did an excellent job. Shlomo Ashkenazi doesn't do a he's full of excellent sources, but Zimmer puts it much more in a better historical perspective. Now, both of these two sources do not bring down the Simchas HaNefesh. The Simchas HaNefesh, as I mentioned, mentions that he's the sheikh, and he says it's like a mare. Just like a ner, and we know Klal Yisrael Jews are compared to a ner, just like a ner is it's lit and it shakes, the kind of kam vein is shake, it's not quiet. Kach haneshama b'adam ein sheketes. Okay. Interestingly enough, just a few sources about this topic. First, as I mentioned, there's a Sefer Hasidim. The Sefer Hasidim says, Tzarech l'naneh kol gufer b'shas atchil, d'chsiv kol atzmoisei tamarna. That you have to shake your whole body, the shastila, as everyone knows, calls Mr. Tamarna, but it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Sefer Yira of Rabbeinu Yaina, which is a halachic work of Rabbeinu Yaina, which goes through the order of the day, full of many things brought down by early Rishayna. Also, Vienaya called Gufa Lekayim calls Mr. Tamarna, he's also talking about tefillah. There's a Sefer Amanik. Sefer Amanik is in very important minig work written by the Rivan Hayarachi, and also in Hilchas Tefillah he writes Matzasi b'Medrash. What's important over here is that he's bringing this from a Medrash, which today we're not able to locate this Medrash. Chayev Adam l'naneya atzmoy b'Tefillah ashum shenemar kol etzmoy sitamarna. B'chein minig Rabbeinu Tzarfas v'chasidel. He stresses that this was a minig of the Rabbeinu Tzarfas, France, v'chasidel, which people seem to understand, as Zimmer mentions, that it must be, Frank Karnfeld in his book, that this is talking about the German Hasidei Ashkenaz, which is, as I mentioned, the Sefer Hasidim over here, is one of the heads of the groups of the German Hasidei Ashkenaz. They were known for having, they were called Hasidim for their various Chassidus Hanhagas means, say, Ufnim Mishur Sadin. They went out of their way and they did all different types of things that don't necessarily have to do. And they held to Shakal. Now, it's interesting, this is as follows. Alpi Kabbalah, the Magen Avraham brings down. Yeah. Now, someone in the comments mentions that Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz says that they're just talking about Pesukas HaZimra, but not Shemoneh Esrei. Does that fit? Now, that is not it's not true because the Sefer Hasidim, Sefer Yira, Sefer Manning are specifically talking about Shemoneh Esrei. As I was about to mention, as follows. The Alpi Kabbalah, there are those that say that you should not chuckle. Bhagavan brings down a Chubis Ramamipanu. The Bhagavan himself does not say you have to listen to the Ramamipanu. He says you can do whatever you want, but specifically, Ramanachem Lizano in his Sefer Shtei Yadois writes that one should only shackle during Sukkah de Zimra and Krishna, but not during Tefillah. There's a Sefer Yosef Bechiri. The Sefer Yosef Bechiri is a Sefer all about the who was Yosef Bechiri. Yosef Bechiri was the Beis Yosef. The Sefer is written by Meir Ben-Eyal. In this Sefer, one of the interesting things about the Sefer is he prints a manuscript work of a contemporary of the Beis Yosef who wrote a Sefer against on many things he argued on the Beis Yosef. And he writes that even if you do shackle, you should make sure not to shackle and that people are going to think you're like a crazy person. Rav Yaakov Emden, in his introduction to his Siddur, also mentions, he mentions the Ramamipanu that says you should not. And he says, no, you should, he concludes that you really should, but again, he also says, be careful not to shackle in a way that people are going to think you're crazy. Now, this leads us to the next problem. There was a Pulmus, very, very famous Pulmus, which was recently rekindled a little. Hasidim was the early Hasidim had different anhagas, and people came out against it. Some came simple, simply against them, and others eventually they were banned. They would put up haramim and. They were against them, and those bans said that you can't have anything to do with them, you're not allowed to marry them, and they were very specific in what they were upset about. These were signed, some of them were even signed by none other than the Vilna Gaon. And what happened was that one of the things was that when they had strange things they used to do when they davened, what do? They used to shackle. But they didn't just shackle. Some people, according to some sources, there were some groups that even did cartwheels. So, yeah, as strange as it sounds. Now, basically, what happened is that the. They did cartwheels, and this even in the Hasidic, even other Hasidic. Rebbes came out against those groups. For Yaakov M, he says you have to be very careful about shaking, not to make shake like make people should think you're crazy. And his sefer Mitzvachas Svarim, which is a sefer which is full of comments on the Zayar, and this sefer, interestingly enough, the Chassam Sefer writes to someone who had it in his near him. He said it's an unbelievable sefer, Ashrecha that you have it in your neighborhood. And the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes as follows. He writes, he's talking about Hasidim, the Meir Chatzei Ayin B'Tfilah Harbi Yisim Chasidim Shein. Much more than the early Hasidim that we find that they Shalay Shein B'Tfilah Atzma El Shachas Kovad. They used to spend an hour before, an hour during. Avi Yeses Ayisim Elu Fimash Amuli B'Tfilah Tzilches Tenuos Zarois Meshunois Umegunois. But more than that, they daven for so long. It bothers me is that they daven during Shemayn Esrei with strange tenuos. They shuckle over pain, they name Pringlam Milo Nege Mashamu Chazal, and he goes on and on. And he brings down the Ramah, who answers it in all things, which is very interesting because Hasidim find themselves, they like to go according to Mikubalim. And in Kabbalah sources, not only Ramah Mipano, they're against shaking in general. Although I think the Zohar holds that one should shake. There were other, as I mentioned, the Gra specifically, and Eliach in his book on the Gra brings many sources of this. One of the specific things was the shackling. There was a sefer, a polemical sefer, one of the harshest polemical svarim against the Hasidim was recently printed from manuscript for the first time, called Sefer Hasidim. It's printed by Merkaz Dinar. Also there, it's a series of attacks on the Hasidim, and in there, one of the chapters is about the crazy ways how they used to die. Interestingly enough, we find in the Gra is not anti-shaking, but he says tupa nachas. It's clear, and this is, I think, in the Maaser Rav, it's clear that the reason for this is because against the Hasidim. The Hasidim, they were very into shaking, as I mentioned, is the Sefer Chassidim, the Sefer Yir, the Sefer Amanig. So he held to do it, just to do it benachas. Just one other point about this, there's a Sefer called Sefer Akundis. It's a mystery who the author was. It's written in Vilna about 150 years ago. And this Sefer is full of Sefer Kundus, meaning to say Kundus is a trickster. It's written as a cynical work about that period of time. The Sefer is written as a written in the form of a halachic work. The halachas of the Kundus. The halachas of this is usually, the Kundus is, it's clear from other sources also, that the Kundus was in the town there was the kid that he was a trickster, he was always making the trouble and everything. So this book is called Sefer Kundus, is the trickster's, the halachas of the trickster, the hand guide of what, how do you know that a guy is a trickster and what a trickster has to do. And it's full of Nehagim, we see from here, as it's called Masach Lefi Tumay, we are able to read it into what he's saying, that this was obviously the custom and different things. One of the things that he talks about, how could he tell it's a Kundus? He makes sure when he's by shul, when he stands, he doesn't have a set place. Of course, what pam ba baruchos kais of besmer, she's going all over the place. Pam beni ha'oyim makom sheish mikra besmer shloim v'nim tasham. There's a platform. He stands there. V'saneh b'chol gufa, he's shuckling very, very, to get attention. V'tzayik afil b'chol ram, and he davens very loud. Anyway, so we see that that the minig of shaking, at least during davening, there are many, as I mentioned earlier, these the earlier sources, but it wasn't accepted minig amongst Jews. But you have to be careful not to shake that you, as the Lashon is, to, like, that people don't think you're crazy. And that was this one of the complaints in the Hasidic movement. Yeah, sorry for starting late. Hopefully next week we'll start on time. Due to some, we'll have the sheets up, and I hope to continue just a few more points with the Sefer Simchas HaNefesh and move on to the next topic. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If anyone wants all the sheets from this week and what will be next week's share by email, email me at eliezerbrat@gmail.com. I will send it to you right away. Thank you for listening, for coming, whatever. And sorry, last week I did not thank whoever came last week. Also, thank you for coming. And I hope to see you next week. Any questions also can be emailed to me at eliezerbrut@gmail.com. Okay, that's it. Thank you.